Ping pong prodigy, an Orthodox Jewish all-star from our second class, Esty Ackerman, started playing casually at home at 7 years old when her father realized that she was quite talented. She ranked sixth in the nation for girls 13 and under. In 2013, she was ranked fourth in the nation for girls under 13. Esty has won multiple medals at U.S. national table tennis and has often defeated players 20 to 30 years her senior. As an adult, she ranked as high as 21 in the U.S. In 2016, Ackerman won gold in the Junior Olympics and tried out for the regular Olympics, which she only missed by 11 spots. In 2020 and 2024, she was prepared to try out for the Olympics again, but the qualifiers were on Shabbos, and U.S. table tennis refused to accommodate her. Ackerman is 22 years old and a 2028 Olympic hopeful, as long as Shabbos can be accommodated. Good morning and welcome to Jew in the City Speaks with your host, Allison Josephs, also known as Jew in the City. The Olympics recently passed, and yet again, there were no Orthodox Jewish ping pong players this year in this year's Olympics, but it's not because there is not a young woman who has been trying to be an Olympian for several years. Esty Ackerman is a world-renowned name. She has won so many awards in table tennis. We first connected with her in 2014 as one of our Orthodox Jewish All-Stars. Her career has only exploded since then. Unfortunately, the world of sports continues to not be so accommodating for Jews, that is. So we're so delighted to talk to Esty today about where her career is, her continued Olympic aspirations, and a new book that's out about her life. Esty, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, hi, Allison. Thank you so much for having me. It's a big privilege and an honor to be back here with you once again, and I'm so excited to catch up.
So I was just saying before we started recording that, like, you've really grown up. Like, we met you when you were like a 13-year-old, like just past your bat mitzvah. You said you're almost 23. It's really, like, what are your memories of being an all-star at 13 years old?
Yeah, that's a great, great memory to go down memory lane with. I remember even just being like so excited and just like so humbled at such a young age that for some reason, you know, Jew in the City chose to recognize me. And I remember just the excitement and the build up to the dinner and seeing how everyone else was like much more accomplished than me, like much older, like had their life together, and it was just awesome. As much of a role model as they are, I definitely remember that you guys had a ping pong table, which was so fun. I think for a lot of adults and older people than myself, to really see perhaps what type of talent and skill I actually had. And just meeting like BCBG, you know, generation. I know we mentioned Joyce, if I'm not mistaken, and Saul Blinkoff, you know, who I randomly run in to here and there. And just like forming those types of connections even so many years ago when I was so little, I think has definitely stuck with me and something that I very much cherish probably for a lifetime.
Yeah, it was great to have you. And we did have a ping pong table. We had this cute idea before the event that we should rent a ping pong table and have a little fundraiser, $50 to play a match with Esty Ackerman. Can you beat a 13-year-old? And I think no one could. And that was some of the easiest money we ever raised. So thank you for playing for better Jewish representation. So because the Olympics came up again this year, and we were kind of following Beatie Deutsch's career and, you know, some of her challenges around the injuries, we decided to do a roundup and see where are our past Orthodox Olympians, where are the ones that are still aspirational. And that kind of gave me an excuse to say, like, what's the deal? You know, kind of where is your career? So if you could, I guess, kind of take us back to the most recent Olympic trials, kind of where things landed with that?
Sure. Right. So I'm sure all know that the 2024 Paris Olympics Games just finished up. And there was definitely some ping pong history in the world that made the ping pong news, at least, you know, that maybe we'll get into. But for me personally, the trials, which is always around February, March time for the winter. Hence that ping pong is always a summer Olympic sport. Unfortunately, pretty much came out that it would be over Shabbos, so it would be a little bit difficult for people who know my story, or who have heard about me, know that back when I was 11 years old in a U.S. national championships, I publicly stated and came to the conclusion that I was not going to compete on Friday night Shabbos, and that was very much my big pivotal moment in my life, and just the very big reason of some claim to fame, which is always huge, siyata dishmaya, when people talk about when you're sacrificing for Hashem, that you do see reward and you do see Hashem in your life. So, yes, I unfortunately did not, really have the opportunity to try out this summer. Unfortunately, I definitely wanted, to and, had the opportunity if, if it would have been presented to me, I guess that fit my values. But I, wish best of luck, to the Team USA and on the men's team, Kanak Jha, who was representing the United States men's team, made history for our country, making it to the round of 16, which is the furthest US male has ever gone. And it was definitely, exciting to watch a little bit here and there, but for someone who really knows me, I definitely love to compete. But as I'm sure we'll get into it, some of the summer was also, me doing some exciting things, with some people, of regarding a book coming out very, very soon.
So, how many Olympic trials have you wanted to, go for, and how many have you been able to go for in terms of them not conflicting with Shabbos?
Right. So I would say in 2016, that was when I was 14 years old, I became the first Orthodox Jew ever, I believe, for the United States to ever try out for the table tennis team. I never would have dreamed of attaining such a title, and it was already a dream come true at such a young age to go to the Olympic trials, which was something that I was so excited to, and just to have the opportunity to compete and just be on such a high level stage of competition. So that was my experience that I was able to. Unfortunately, I did not. I lost fair and square, and I did not make it to Rio, Brazil that summer in 2016.
How
But I was.
much? How much you miss it by?
I missed it by 11 spots.
Okay, that's not
So
bad.
that's the Aseret Dibro plus one, or a minion plus one.
And then how many spots did they take?
They take three.
Oh wow. Okay, so you were like 14th in the country for women.
Yeah, thank God. At that year, I out of the 16 women that were trying out, it was only a selective 16 spots we even had the opportunity just to try out for the entire women of America. And I was very privileged to be one of those 16 women fighting for three spots. But unfortunately, I did not make it. It was a 3-day trials, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I did only have 2 days to try out, Thursday and Friday. But I did not have a third day to try out. My parents thought I would make it the first time, but long story short, I was not in Rio, Brazil that summer, but I was at the next best stage where I was in Houston, Texas for the Junior Olympics. And in that year, I got the gold for singles and doubles of girls under 16.
Amazing. Okay, and then 2020 and 2024, both of those
Right.
conflicted with Shabbos. You could
Yes.
not
So
do that.
2020, right. That was, I believe, during, I was in seminary in Mahalah. And I also had the privilege when I was there to be training and competing in our homeland. I was representing the club from Yerushalayim, where a partner and I, we teamed up and we would travel a little bit throughout Israel of competing against different cities, which was a super fantastic experience and something that I love just playing there and representing just the Jewish people. So unfortunately, we all know that that's when the pandemic broke out. So that also though was a year in 2020 where I was not able to try out. The trials were also on Shabbos. However, some people did joke to me afterwards of saying, but you see, SD, like it was COVID, and like the Olympics, got pushed off or something, that it didn't happen. But I will highlight that in that year when I was in seminary that my partner and I did very well amongst the country, and we actually did make it to the finals. But before we were able to compete for the gold, unfortunately, all the students had to fly back to America due to the pandemic.
Yikes. I'm thinking we spoke a couple of years ago, I think was the last time I interviewed you. And that was about a story of one of your, I think, teammates, your double teammates' mother giving you a hard time over dressing modestly while you were playing, which just, in our age of increased inclusion and diversity, over and over again, I become increasingly frustrated that there is no room for Jews who observe our spiritual traditions. There's obviously a lot of talk over this most recent Olympics around women's boxing and some of the, disagreements about the people that were eligible to compete. And without getting into the politics of, how women are defined or kind of what the rules are, I think everybody could agree that there's just a lot of understanding and like just more broadness around some issues that are more popular in, the zeitgeist right now. I know this is, we looked into this, I think around sort of Beatie Deutsch's situation, my husband and I, Muslim athletes who had to compete during Ramadan, they moved around the competition times so that they could break their fast. Fabulous, wonderful. Build spaces of inclusion. It's just really frustrating to me that we're not there yet for Jews. So, like, what are your thoughts about seeing great lengths of inclusion for everyone else and for you and the other Jewish athletes who will not compete on Shabbos to be told again and again, sorry, kid.
Right. I would first say that unfortunately, since October 7th, I think the world has changed in a way that we've never seen, or at least in my lifetime, I have never seen. My personal career, since I've been playing, I would say probably since 8 years old, which is a good number of years now, I would say I've had way more success, way more trophies, way more gold medals, way more opportunities, i.e., cool interviews like this, than my minor Shabbos conflicts, so to say. I will emphasize on that because who's ever listening and watching this, and to understand that if you're working hard and you're dreaming big and you're really passionate in what you're doing, you will succeed. Perhaps a challenge or a bump in the road might come up. And I think that's in all areas of life. If it's at a job, if it's with a family, if it's with a type of just matter that one's going through in life, I think that's what makes the Jewish people super strong and why we're so hard to just beat or get at, because we're individuals who are taught that we have to go through challenges to become a better version of ourselves. So, because that's ingrained in our bones, I think that's how we become amazing people, that we hope to be. I would say for the minor thing, that even the example that you brought down, in where there was a teammate's, mother, who did, curse me out and who was insulting. And, that definitely was a hard moment in my life and, was crying and was hurtful. I would say that, perhaps lasted, maybe a day, maybe, and thank God, really, Baruch Hashem, I've had so many incredible and fantastic days on the court and off the court. And which I just think is amazing to know of just thank God my success and just a lot of small, minor, minuscule challenges, or insults or remarks, and especially for the women out there. I personally wasn't always modest, when I competed. When I was a little kid, there's a lot out me, definitely on pictures or just on YouTube or just things like that. But I am so beyond proud of just the person that I've gradually grown into, or just wanting to be. super tenacious, you know, as can be now. And I am always happy to even talk or speak with people regarding about just like the modest athletic wear and what's out there and that there should be more. And just even just, I would be so happy to even collaborate with, you know, people who know more about that field than myself, of just popularizing that, of to allowing more options or choices for Jewish women to wanting to wear those types of things when they're competing, you know, just like the Muslims do, you know, just like there's the hijabs and just things like that. But again, I would say back to your question that there should not be a double standard, never. And just like if there's accommodations for one religion, there has to be for the other one.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, look, I think your attitude of focusing on the positive, I'm thinking about a law from Shabbos Borer that we can't take from the bad from the good, but we can take the good from the bad. So, you know, you seem like you're doing that with your life experiences, which is fabulous. I'm just a fighter, not on the court or the field, but, you know, in terms of justice. And it really bothers me that in our age of accommodation, there's no way to make space for Jews. But I don't know, God willing, maybe one of these coming years. So let's talk about this new book that's coming out. What's it about? You know, when's it coming out? How did it come about?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm super excited to say that Ann Kofsky, who lives nearby us in West Hempstead, reached out to me, you know, I would say maybe almost a year ago, you know, saying that she, you know, was looking, you know, to just like do a new project, you know, and she was always a family friend of ours and was interested in writing my story up, specifically referring to back in 2012 when I did not play on Shabbos when I was 11 years old. And I was like, sounds like a cool idea. You know, you know, didn't really think I was worthy of someone writing a, you know, book about me, but I said, let's go for it. And after, you know, talking and schmoozing a lot of just certain details and just like what went down and, you know, hearing her creativity in the sense that it is a children's book, you know, I was excited to see, you know, where this would come about. And so she pretty much did all the hard work. And once she had her stuff together, then she said, you know, that she's going to pitch it, you know, to some publishing companies. And, you know, then the rest, you know, is pretty much in Hashem's hands. And then I remember, you know, the exciting day where she called me and said, hi, Esty, you know, little B publishing company, you know, wants to do it, you know, and is ready to make this into reality. And she was also excited because she's written plenty of books and has a lot of success, but I believe she told me that this is her first time striking a deal with Little B Publishing, you know, which it was very exciting, since they're obviously also, you know, like a non-Jewish, you know, company, you know, and just she was saying like Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and I was like, what? Like, this is happening. And so that, was just definitely excited to hear. And I believe, I think I saw September 11th around that it's coming out, and there's definitely some cool, you know, sneak peeks that I think some of the people have been posting online and on social media, but to see. But yeah, I'm super excited, you know, for people to hopefully get inspired by it, Jewish, non-Jewish, all the above, all ages, and to hopefully see that anyone is really just capable of anything when you're like really set with hard work, time, and just like your head's there.
That's very cool. I didn't realize that it was a non-Jewish publisher. I mean, that's obviously a much broader reach now. So how is your story framed? Do they frame you as Esty, the Jewish ping pong girl? Do they talk about the Shabbos thing and your conviction? Like, sort of what's the framing of your story for this non-Jewish audience?
Yeah, so I believe that, yeah, I am framed, you know, as myself, Esty, Jewish, and I think really bringing out the theme of what it means to just state the true values, you know, and just what it means to just pursue your dreams, even if something might be in the way. But it is pretty much written up that Esty, you know, a little girl, was always playing, you know, with her family in the basement, just as a fun family night activity. And we wanted to become something unique and great in life. And when I was at such a high tournament of really a lot of good players, and it was a lot at stake, and the championship match came out on Friday night, And then I was faced with a decision. And when I chose not to play, of even just how the I thought it was so impressive how the illustrator like just drew like what like a Shabbos table looks like, you know, and even just seeing that just family there or just the candles, I think really depicts, hopefully for the reader, of just to see, you know, what just certain values are. If it's just like family, if it's just quality time, if it's just the maturity, you know, of making a decision perhaps at a young age, is definitely something that that's how the book is depicted. But yeah, I believe there's like some pages with even like just a few words on it, definitely like a lot of pictures, you know, so a lot of color, a lot of excitement there.
It's really beautiful. I mean, besides, you know, sort of amplifying Jewish values to the masses, the just the universal value of having conviction, which I think is less and less common to see. We have these upcoming Jewish Media Awards that we are planning for November 12th at Lincoln Center. It's basically marrying the All-Star Awards to some TV shows and films that are representing Jews positively. So this is the first time I'm announcing it here on the show. And one of our award winners of the films is a film about Ryan Terrell, who is an Orthodox basketball player. And a movie about his life was actually picked up by Amazon. It's called Destination NBA, a G League Odyssey. And one of the moments that reminds me of you that I was so touched by is that he was recruited by West Point, a Division I school, and he started to look into what would life be like for a Shomer Shabbos kid. And the Chabad rabbi there basically told him, "If you come in Shomer Shabbos, you're not going to come out." And he turned to his father and he said, "I'm going to go to Yeshiva University. I want to become a Jewish hero," which was just really inspiring. And I mean, you're a similar Jewish hero. You know, we need one for the boys, one for the girls. It's really, I think it's few and far between that we see people that are willing to give up on, you know, even the stuff of their dreams to say this matters more. What's your hope for the book?
Yeah, so by the way, first, I'll definitely add that I'm a huge fan of Ryan. We actually saw each other recently when he was brought to West Hampstead for Shabbos, and just want to say congrats to him, you know, for that upcoming award. And that we definitely had some fun times at a Pesach program one year playing some ping pong, and then I respectfully stepped back when there was a basketball opportunity because I knew I would not stand a chance at all. But just a super nice guy, and I'm just very, you know, happy to hear of his success. But I would say my hope for the book is that as many people who can get a copy and just to get a hand on it is that people are able to just understand what it means in the sense of what you said with conviction, but to just get the message. Obviously, if you're a Yid, if you're Jewish, to be inspired, to really be inspired, what it means to stand up for your values, to really feel the understanding that when you're faced with a decision and you think, in my personal story, at a younger age, most, you know, hopefully 10 and 11 year olds. That's probably what you value at that time, the gold medal, the trophy. That's going to be the number one champion that you want to remember. However, I hope they understand that from the book, because I made the opposite decision and I was disappointed and it was really hard in that moment because I changed my whole life for that. Like, that's what I was training for. That's what I was living, breathing, doing. And now I just gave it up for something called Shabbos. I hope people realize that when you give something up, when your moser nefesh is what we say in Hebrew, right, is that you really do see Hashem even greater in your life. And I think that's all what we're chasing, to really feel that closeness with Hashem and to really spread that light onto others. Because the moments when I got after that tournament, the phone calls, the emails from people saying that they heard about my story, either from the Nachum Segal Network or from the newspaper or from a TV, that they were inspired. They felt a little bit more impacted to start keeping Shabbos a little bit more, to start keeping a little bit more kosher more. And in my mind, that was my gold medal. That was like Hashem, I felt, tapping me on the shoulder and said, you know, thank you, Esti, of just something that I was able to partner with Hashem and to inspire other Jews. In addition, I hope if anyone who is reading that just gets also just the motivation to just like go out and like get a hobby, you know, like realize that you could become great, you know, like you could become the next Michael Phelps, the next Simone Biles, you know, just like the greats in the world, even of just I think nowadays, you know, unfortunately, I feel like mental health is on the rise of just certain things. Like people need something to keep busy with. If it's after school, if it's after work, if it's after their job, go out and try something new. You know, you maybe could meet new friends, you could maybe, you know, make new connections. You know, realize that you are capable of so much and only the sky is the limit. So I hope definitely people could gain from that. And I'm excited, you know, to, you know, definitely have some exciting events coming up, you know, with Anne, you know, or even just, you know, book signings and just things like that to spread the message of for sure, of like just Mika Amcha Yisrael, like who is like the really like the Jewish people? Because if you would have told me then at the Jew in the City dinner, Allison, you know, Esti, in a few years we're gonna be talking about a book, you know, this, I would have laughed at you. I totally would have laughed at you, just in the sense that I would not believe it. But I believe that it's exciting and it's definitely a privilege to realize that when we're doing what we believe in, when we feel what is right, even when the rest of the world thinks we're crazy, and even when the rest of the world is putting us down for it, I think that's really where the greatness comes about. Because we all know those people are going to be there, you know, for centuries, you know, that in our past and what our ancestors had to go through, you know, and I think now more than ever, you know, is just the time to stay proud and in a loud way of what we believe in, and being the best version of ourselves, hopefully can inspire the other people to see just how great the Jewish people are, and just how we just want to bring light to the world.
Beautiful. 3 minutes to go. Just sort of keep us up to date besides the book coming out and hopefully some publicity that'll come from that. Where are you in your career? You know, kind of what's upcoming in terms of competitions and, you know, 2028 Olympics, just kind of like, you know, take us out with that.
Sure. Yeah. So I would say I am currently starting next week teaching in Hafter. This is my second year returning as a middle school Navi and gym teacher. I am very passionate, you know, about balancing Torah and sports. And I think combining those two, when some of my students really see, you know, what type of message I'm trying to convey on the court or inside the classroom, is something that I'm excited to be working there full time. Last year I did start the first ping pong club Hafter has ever had, and I am hoping to perhaps maybe expand and get it to, if not as many yeshiva day schools I can across New York, at least New Jersey, to get a ping pong table. There should be a yeshiva league with it. Not every kid can make the basketball team. Not every kid can, you know, there has to be something for everyone. So that's definitely in a little bit of my professional world. But in addition to the ping pong world, I am super excited definitely for a lot of events that are coming up. It is a very big passion of mine, the public speaking that I've had the privilege to do the past about 10 years in different schools, in different camps, in different organizations, that I'm looking forward. And I've definitely also been giving back a little bit on the court in lessons or training, you know, that younger kids are interested in. And 2028 is for sure on the front of the forehead, because it's going to be in Los Angeles, you know, and not only personal friends that I have in Los Angeles, but even a lot of people said, like, if you're there, Esti, like, we're coming, you know, it's in America, you know, and even just the big Jewish community we have there in Los Angeles would be super exciting. You know, of course, I daven and pray for Mashiach every day. That should be first. But if not, you know, I would definitely be looking forward to seeing you and the whole Nachum Segal network and the booth there, you know, when we're all there in 2028 Olympics.
Maybe Mashiach likes ping pong and we can do it all. Thank you so much. Really keep inspiring. You know, when you honor a 13-year-old, you're not exactly sure where they're going to end up, but you ended up pretty good, SD Ackerman. So keep on shining your light, and the book should, you know, come out with great success. And we look forward to hearing the next update.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And really all the incredible your work and Jew in the City's work is always incredible to see. And it's definitely a privilege to be here and be able to talk with you once again, Allison.
Thanks so much. And thanks so much for listening. You can catch us same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.